Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. Such a joy to see each of you here in the sanctuary. Thank you for your presence and your intention in being here. And from this sacred space to your sacred space, we welcome you and bless you and receive your love and send you love wherever you might be partaking in this service today. Just a couple announcements for everyone's attention. We are hosting a new baptism class starting this Saturday, and baptism classes for anyone who'd like to learn more about baptism, have a renewal of their baptism, or be baptized for the first time, or second time, or third time. We have people who just want to get baptized here, and that's beautiful. Please contact the church office, and you will be involved in that the class, which is solely online, and we'll have the baptism on Pentecost Sunday, which is May 23rd. We have two centering prayer retreats upcoming in the month of May. The first occurs on a Wednesday. It's a half day in person and online, hybrid, we call them, a hybrid retreat, which is so meaningful. And that'll be on Wednesday, May 5th, beginning at 2 in the afternoon and concluding at 6 in the evening. You can register on the church website for that. And then we have another special retreat planned with Jim Rialli, who we've come to know as a real gifted teacher in terms of integrating the body into the prayer. And he's got various methods of doing that and entering into the prayer through the body. And that retreat is scheduled for Saturday, May 22nd at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that's online only. So you can register for that on the church website. In fact, it's entitled Creating a Relationship with Your Body and Breath. Sounds good to me. And then yesterday, the board had its retreat weekend, and the board would like to share this decision that was reached yesterday unanimously, and I just would like to read it. Excuse me. This weekend, the board met and continued our discernment process around the sequence and speed of reopening our campus. We are eager to fully resume church operations as soon as we feel we can safely do so. Currently, the city of Austin remains at stage 3, but we continue to see positive trends in new infection rates, hospitalization levels, and vaccine supply and eligibility. We do expect these trends to continue and want to start moving towards implementing the Church of Conscious Harmony's stage 2 reopening plans. This will be implemented in a phased approach with the number of prior restrictions being relaxed, commencing next Sunday, May 2nd. So, we are happy to announce the following changes starting this week. We are completely discontinuing in-person sign-up, so you no longer need to sign up online or calling the church to attend worship, any service. So no advanced reservations required. We are relaxing the social distancing requirements in the sanctuary. Seating will be open in the sanctuary in all rows, and we ask that you sit with your families, and if you're a different family, just give a few seats space. But these ropes that are blocking off rows will all be gone, and that will accommodate more in the sanctuary. This is something wonderful. After church fellowship reinstatement, so instead of the brunch at 9 a.m., we're going to phase in, and we all are invited to participate after the church in the courtyard or in the fellowship hall with the doors open for free coffee and great conversation with anyone you wish to chat with. And then also for our youth, especially just one specific age group, sixth graders and above, classes will resume for all our youth, sixth grade and above. They will meet in the fellowship hall for the time being. And if you are a youth or a parent of a youth, just look for an email from our youth leaders this week for more details. I celebrate these relaxation and movement toward normality, or the new normal, whatever that might be. But just to be together in community is wonderful. So thank you very much for that. And let us turn now. It's the fourth Sunday of Easter, and that is oftentimes the Sunday that is called Good Shepherd Sunday, because Jesus says, "The I am the Good Shepherd." Next Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Easter, he says, "The I am the vine, and you are the branches." So it's a very meaningful time of focusing on who, what we listen to, what influences we listen to that guide, guard, and bless our lives. And so let's join together. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever is unfolding, let's just ask the Holy Spirit and the Good Shepherd to bless each of us today through this service and bless all who are partaking right now and whenever they might partake, that they would experience the highest quality of influences through our time together. Let's wish this now together. May it be so. And thus we begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Please join us in invoking and remembering the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Please stand, for the gospel in one word is love.
Love, love.
most gracious and merciful living Christ, shepherd of each of our lives, we give you thanks for the capacity you have given to us to listen to your voice within, to follow its inner leading and prompting, and to consent to your presence and action. We ask that you would continue to anoint our community with the charism of listening, that the silence would hold us as we grow and heal us as we evolve. We pray this in your most holy and precious threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Good morning. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. We're going to light the Christ candle together. As we bring fire to this candle wick, making it glow with light, may we also bring the fire of love to this time of prayer and worship. Well, Pastor Peter mentioned that there is a baptism class in May, and that class is taught by Mary Ann, but we are also doing a class for anyone who is 9 and up, I think 9 to 19. And if you are interested in doing that, it's going to be on Zoom at 11 on the Saturdays in May, starting with May 2nd. And we will also be joining the adults for the baptism on May 23rd. We are also aware that some of you children live in other cities and other states, and so we're going to make it possible for you to be baptized virtually somehow, through the Holy Spirit, of course. So please register with the church office if you're interested in that class. Well, Red, I was hoping you'd show up this morning.
Well, it was the invisible string that told me to come.
What in tarnation are you talking about?
Well, the invisible string is something that the church lady talked about last week. It's something that connects all of us to the people we love. And when someone's thinking about us, like wishing we'd be here, we feel a tug on our heart.
Huh. A tug on our heart. Well, does that invisible string connect us with everyone?
Well, I think that's what the book said. I wish we could ask Granny, but she's not here.
Well, I can think about what Granny would say. She might say, "Oh, that's a lovely question, dear." Or maybe she might say something like, "Jump into your portals, lucky light workers, and you can feel those invisible strings connecting you with everyone."
My goodness, Tammy Sue, you sounded just like Granny.
Well, you know, oh wait, I'll just be me. You know, there's an invisible string, I guess, that connects you and me and Granny and the church lady. That's not too hard to figure. And then it must connect us to Mary Ann and Pastor Peter and the musicians and everybody here in the room. Well, you know what? I'm thinking that invisible string even connects us with the Zoom people and everyone they know and everyone they love. And then because of vertical time and the time body, wouldn't it connect us with everyone who's ever been to the church and everyone who will ever come and everyone who will ever watch it on the recordings? Is that possible?
Well, I don't know, Tammy Sue. It's starting to feel like it might be possible. Do you think invisible strings can travel through blessings?
Oh, my goodness. Red, you come up with the best ideas.
Well, maybe we could try it out. Maybe we could see, let's see, we could bless homeless people today and people with food insecurity. I mean, the Church of Conscious Harmony contributes to Caritas, and that helps homeless people and people who are hungry, but we could do even more if we got into our portals of light and sent blessings. Right on. Girl, I think you should just try it, don't you? Well, I think it would help if the church lady were here, because we may need to rub our hands together. I can't do that too well. No, I don't think I can do that too well either, but maybe you can get us started. All right, I'm going to help get everybody ready. Are you guys going to get ready with me? All right, get into your portal of light. You know, you could reinvent it every time you get in. What is it going to look like today? What do you want in your portal? Remember, this is where we go to get God's blessings and send them out. You need to get a button on your dashboard for the homeless people and the hungry. All right, are you in the light? Okay, let's see if the church lady can help us with the next part. Okay, so we're going to take our hands and we're going to rub them together firmly so we can get some heat going. All right, now just kind of spread them apart and you can feel that energy. And this is God's light that flows through us and we're going to direct it. So I want you to close your eyes and see yourself in your portal of light. And see that big button that's there to send the light to people who are homeless and hungry. And as we join together, the invisible strings that connect us amplify the energy that we are sending out, pouring out this blessing. And everyone who receives this blessing is connected through these invisible strings as our blessing goes out. Good work, lucky light workers. You did it. And I hope you can feel the tug as a hug.
A reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
Thank you.
This past week, I received 3 emails, and in one of the 3 emails, they spoke of a 4th person who shared that they felt a negative response, a hurt, to last week's message. And one of my earliest aims in life that I remember, it came to me very early on as a young man, 17 or 18 years old, wondering what to do with my life. But I made a big wish and an aim that I would be a blessing through my words, written and spoken. I knew I loved words and I wanted to be a blessing through my words, and I had been under the influence of an extraordinary series of ministers who blessed me and spoke to me and modeled moments where I felt so blessed by what the minister said. So when I heard that a few of us or many of us in our community felt shamed or blamed by anything I said, I take it to heart, because I know that not everyone hears the same things in the room. But when a few people hear the same thing, then that gets my attention. And I rarely get feedback, but when I do, you know, sometimes it's important to listen. So what I want to say is, I'm sorry, and I ask your forgiveness for any way that my words weren't a blessing and not useful or felt shaming or blaming. That was never and is never my intent. And one of the things I've learned teaching at the Seminary of the Southwest from the students I have been teaching there over the last several years is that there's a difference. They have this beautiful phrase that I was deeply touched by, and I've seen it around in different books. Ruth King, for example, in her book, she and these students have reminded me that intent is not the same as impact. And I think that's a beautiful way of thinking about listening for the Good Shepherd's voice in our life and the difference between our voices, the intent and the impact. And so I take that to heart. So thank you for allowing me to learn and grow on my journey. That's last week, and now next week, just a word about next week, because next week we're going to do something different for this period during the service. We're going to have a community discussion on Cynthia Bourgeau's Eye of the Heart, which is our community reading for the year. And so we're going to have 2 microphones up here on stands on the floor that everyone's sitting on, not on the platform up here. And the microphones will be facing so in such a way that you'll be talking to me, not the camera, just so everyone is at ease. You won't be on camera, exactly. And I'm inviting you, if you aren't able to be here in person, we'd still love to hear from you and how the book is blessing you. And you can send me your response or how this book is blessing you to minister@consciousharmony.org. minister@consciousharmony.org, or you could send it into the church office if you have that email. And then in the Friday email, I suggested a few prompts to help us, you know, get the conversation going, and I'll just read them again here. How is this book speaking to you? In what ways has this book challenged you or expanded you? How is this book inspiring you and encouraging your inner work? And what questions have arisen as you have read the book that you'd like to ponder further? And for me, there are a lot of questions that have emerged. It's quite an extraordinary conceptual book. And I certainly have a favorite chapter in that book, and I'll share that next week. This will be the first of 2 community readings we have on this book. So perhaps you haven't finished it, and you can share on what you have read. And then the next time we talk about it in November, we can talk about it more completely. And then just as a reminder about today, we do have our annual congregational meeting following this service, so I'm going to try and keep the message brief so we can all get home and join in on the meeting online. It will only be online this year. And so if you are wondering how to connect, you would have needed to get the link that was embedded in the Friday email. Also, an email went out to our core email list, and if you didn't receive that, I'm sorry. Hopefully everyone can connect today with the congregational meeting. All right, so let's talk about this beautiful passage about I am the Good Shepherd. And just a couple things I want to focus on, because this can oftentimes be heard in a very exclusive way, that Jesus is the Good Shepherd and only his people that hear his voice, this sort of thing. But in our community, we have the gift of interpreting these passages from an inner perspective, from not just about Jesus and the living Christ, but about our inner life. And so one of the ways to read this passage is to begin to think about the Good Shepherd as that which is present in us that we can continuously grow to learn to listen to more closely, to hear. And in the teachings of the work, this concept of the Good Shepherd could equate to a few things. For example, it could equate to what we would call magnetic center, that capacity that people have to feel drawn to that which is more than just life on planet Earth, more than just survival and security, power and control, affection, esteem, something deeper. And that magnetic center is what draws people to beauty, to truth, and to goodness. It draws people into sanctuaries, it draws people into the forest, it draws people into love, and it draws people into creativity. That magnetic center is just grace, the power center of God's grace and working in us. And that, in a certain sense, is our Good Shepherd. If we can tune into that magnetic center, listen to that magnetic center, respond to that magnetic center. And by way of contrast, we often discover how much what we're attracted to shapes our life. And so this magnetic center, as an image of the Good Shepherd, if we give ourselves to that draw of magnetic center, it will draw us sometimes to things that we normally wouldn't expect. And sometimes, as we have these lives that we live, we can see the contrast between the other things that we're drawn to and see the contrast of the fruit that leaves in our life, the inner taste that leaves in our life. And we can see the difference between magnetic center that draws us to goodness, truth, and beauty, and the magnetic center parts of ourselves that draw us to disorder, to anger, to lust, to greed, to gluttony, and this sort of thing, and all the other powerful passions that are possible. One can have a magnetic center that's orientated to those dynamics. And as one lives our lives, we begin to discover and see how this changes, and the difference and the contrast between this inner voice that leads us to goodness, truth, and beauty. And it doesn't take too many moments in life where we taste the bitterness of life to realize, I want something different. I wish to live clean and clear in my emotional center. I wish to connect to that highest possible influence. And whether it's just a simple hangover that wakes you up and says, oh boy, I don't want to feel like this again, or whether it's someone saying something to you or something, an event happening in your life that is a big shock, a big wake-up call, those are all moments to see where your center is, where you're being drawn. And that's something for all of us to begin to keep listening for, and to keep discovering what it is that our center is drawing and what we are drawn to. And so we might also think about this Good Shepherd as the cultivation of what the work calls real eye or master. And I think master, in the beautiful story of the chariot and the horses and the driver, master is the owner of the chariot and not just the driver. Master is the one who's in the chariot being taken by the driver. and knows and tells the driver where to go, so to speak. Master is something that is a word that has negative associations for me because of slavery, but master conveys something of that we're under the authority, we're listening to something, we're guided by something other than just ourself. And that is the thing that gets cultivated more and more, that we're no longer just a slave to, as St. Paul calls it, sin or self or the flesh. We're slave to goodness, truth, and beauty. We're slave to the good shepherd's voice. We're under that authority. We're listening. We're connected. Now, Thomas Keating might call this good shepherd dynamic inwardly. He might call it the divine indwelling. And another phrase that Thomas Keating gave to us is the presence and action of the Holy Spirit. There would be other ways of talking about this idea of the Good Shepherd. So do you see how those ideas take it out and beyond from just Jesus into this inner dimension of that which wishes to guide us, to guard us, and to bless us, to lead us, and to teach us, and to show us the way into deeper truth and wisdom and love. And finally, the work also might speak of the Good Shepherd, listening for the Good Shepherd's voice, for the influence of the Good Shepherd in each of our lives, as the connecting up to that which already exists in us, but it's somewhat buried, you might say, needs to be unearthed, reconnected to. The work calls it this mysterious language around this, the higher intellectual center and the higher emotional center. And I'll just tease you with that if you're not familiar with those ideas. They're very big ideas, but they hint at that there is something more for us to develop into and become on this planet. That there's something higher and deeper for us to connect to on the intellectual level and the emotional level. And we can feel the light peeking through in influences that come through us through the beauty of music or nature or love or certain books that we read, and certainly in the silence. And so all of these things are ways of transforming our understanding of what the Good Shepherd might be for us internally. The next thing I wanted to mention is that the word here in verse 14 that says, I know my sheep and they know me. The word know isn't intellectual knowledge. It's not rational knowledge. This is the word that is used throughout the scriptures in the Greek and the Hebrew to talk about personal knowledge. And I might even say intimacy. It's actually the word that is used to describe the sexual relation between Adam and Eve, that they knew one another. It's also the word that Mary says to the angel when Gabriel says, you're going to have a child. And she says, how can that be? I've never known a man. So this word is, unfortunately, in English, doesn't convey the intimacy, the inwardness, the intermingling energy of the kind of knowing that this Good Shepherd has for us and the reciprocation we have for it. And so this is really what I would say Bernadette Roberts is teaching us when she says that the journey into no self begins with the unitive state, that union is so beautiful that it is a consummation. And that's been another word that mystics have used throughout Christian history to talk about the experience of knowing and being known in such intimate, perfect, profoundly mysterious inward ways that one should probably keep to oneself. And Bernadette would kind of gag, you know, when she would read these mystics who would talk about the bedroom moments with the Lord and that inner union and that kind of bridal mysticism. The men would talk about it, the mystics, and the women would talk about it in that way. And she wasn't so much about the sentimentality about that, but it's still the truth of our experience that this knowing is a consuming. This knowing is a interpenetration, an intermingling of energies and influences. So much so that the transformation happens that you can't tell where, and the phrase is, you can't tell where you end and God begins. And if you've ever noticed married couples who are in love, who've been through it and are far on the journey, and I've seen this in younger couples too, early in their lives, but mostly I've seen it in dear senior saints who have been on that marriage journey. And you look at them and you can just see, I can't tell who's who sometimes. They've become one, for better or for worse, right? But they look a lot alike sometimes, and not always. And there's no rule on this, but I'm just saying that certainly we can start to begin to see that the goal of the spiritual journey is to restore what was lost or is lost for whatever reasons in our experience. We wake up on this planet as the image of God, created in the image of God, but lacking or not being complete in the likeness to God. And so the journey of following, listening for the Good Shepherd and its influences is one of being transformed by way of this interior, intimate knowledge and knowing relationally that does something to you in such a way that you're not the same person. You're now, as St. Paul says, no longer I, but Christ in me. I, not I, Christ in me, to be precise. I, not I. It's this paradox that clearly Peter's still here, but not Peter is still here. Something else is emerging in my life little by little and in your lives as well. And that transformation is a process that's so intimate of becoming one with in the interior dimension of our psychology, of our thoughts, of our very body and sensations. And so really, you know, you can begin to see that this is really the map for becoming holy, becoming a saint, becoming transfused into love itself, would be another way of putting it. All this is all tied up in Jesus' statement, I know my beloveds and my beloveds know me. And that is by way of the work, verify, verify, verify. And discover where that intimacy is, can be, and where it isn't in your life. The places in each of our hearts that we have out of fear or shame or woundedness won't let that in. And that's very normal because sometimes it's so overwhelming to be loved so much by God and to be transformed into that love. It's quite scary, but also the opportunity of a lifetime. Just to conclude with one other thing, and that is that this quality, this presence, this influence that we name Good Shepherd, manifested as the image of Jesus, who is a model, a template for all of us to see on the stage of human history, what is possible for a human being who consents to Abba's voice, who listens. And obviously all of us have leadership. We have leadership impact in our lives, whether it's with your family or your job or your church or wherever it might be, we all are leaving an impact. We all have an impact. And so we can begin to see something here of what the quality of this Good Shepherd leadership is, that what good leadership spiritually, inwardly is that we want to listen to, pay attention to, follow. What is this quality that we want to give our attention to? And I would just sum it up in this way. Number one, there's a quality of goodness to it. And by goodness, I don't mean easiness. The goodness of this Good Shepherd isn't easy always. The good father, the good mother doesn't make it easy on the kid. But a good mother, father, the good shepherd always makes it safe. Always. And there's this safety that we can just rest into on our spiritual journeys, that even though it may not feel like goodness is happening in our life, we can count on the goodness of God to keep us safe. We can count on that. That everything is working for our good. Everything. Not one little thing. For those with the ears to hear and the patience not to react and the love to keep trusting God, all of that, we can just move through the difficulties of our life knowing that we're going to be safe. And that death, or all the sickness and suffering that leads up to death, which most of us are probably more afraid of than dying. We're afraid of the suffering. We're afraid of the pain. We're afraid of the 6 hours on the cross hung up there. We don't want the crows to come and pluck out our eyes. You know, the terror of being unconscious, the terror of losing capacity. All of this is what we're afraid of, but even death, and just take comfort. Even though you walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will be with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, goodness. And then guidance. Guidance is another quality of this influence. It guides you. You may not like how it guides you. You may wish it would go a different way, a quicker way. Isn't there an easier way here? But that guidance is unmistakable. That inner voice that you know that connects with magnetic center to your divine center, whatever it is, that inner voice you know when you've been given the grace of guidance. And there are all sorts of voices out there. We live in a cacophonous world. And there are all sorts of voices in here. We live in a cacophonous inward state. The cocktail party mind, the monkey mind, this endless multiplicity of our voices. But there is a voice in there of the Good Shepherd. Amidst all the multiplicity of our inner voices, there is a voice named the Good Shepherd who will guide us, who will show us the way not to go and the way to go. And stillness and silence are the environments in which we can begin to really hear that inner voice and receive its guidance. Whether we take the guidance or not is not the giver's responsibility. And we are free to receive or not that guidance. And in my own life, I can see that inner voice that has been given over more to fear, and the fruit of when I have been guided by that fear in certain situations, and the inner voice that has been guided by peace and security and the sure certainty that God is with me no matter what, and the quality of those decisions and how those kinds of listening to that guidance has affected my life. And I think perhaps you have similar ways of looking at your life and seeing the contrast of what you have allowed to guide you, what voice you have listened to. And then the third thing that this beautiful teaching reminds me of is that we're guarded. You know, we're guarded. It's a goodness, it's a guidance, and it's a guarding. And the safest place to be is surrendered to God. Safest place. Safest place to be really is in the silence of God's love. And that is our only refuge, ultimately. The foundations of the world will be shaken again and again and again, manifested in all sorts of different ways. But our security is in the rock of our salvation, the eternal silence of God, the eternal stillness of God that is unmovable no matter what moves in human culture. No matter what calls to our attention, no matter what's wrong on this planet, no matter if there's a billion things wrong or one thing wrong, God's this beautiful guarding presence that we can take refuge in. The mind can't really understand that. Our mind can't understand that. But lovers understand that. Lovers who are becoming one understand how they guard one another's hearts. This isn't an intellectual proposition. That God guards us. You cannot look out at the world and its armies and its banks and say that God's guarding our planet. It's just the opposite on this planet. What humans do, what power possessors do on this planet, the nature of things on this planet is wired for people to guard for themselves. And so God's guarding is a different quality on this planet that we oftentimes need to be re-educated, that second education about what God's guarding looks like. And you only have to look to Jesus, the life of the Jesus, to see his own experience with God in the Garden of Gethsemane, where you would think God's guarding of him would involve avoiding the soldiers arresting him, and all the other horrors that were done to his body that day. But that was not the case. God's guarding included that suffering and transformed it. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. This is our Good Shepherd. This is the way of the Good Shepherd. And externally, historically, literally, you can connect with Jesus if you wish. But internally, psychologically, emotionally, you can see, I hope, in this sharing, how you can connect that for your own life through ideas of the work applied very deeply and poignantly and silently. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence and take rest in the Good Shepherd's presence. Holy Spirit of God, you overshadow us with such goodness and protect us from ourselves. And we ask for the grace of strength and healing on our planet in every possible dimension, and that you would help us be more hardwired into your heart, that our signal would not drop, and that our communication would be crystal clear. We pray this in Christ, our Good Shepherd. Amen. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands or into our consciousness, and together we feed the church that feeds us on a weekly basis, a church that is so much more than any one thing or any one person. Let's take these tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands and remember the truth that God's love, let's say it together, has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. And we bless all the tithes and offerings and flow of supply to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. God.
We now move into silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, wherein we do commune with God, the divine indwelling, and consent to this great love, presence, and action in our lives.
I invite you to remove the caps of your containers of the Eucharist and partake when I partake of the Eucharist, and I will partake for all of us with the cup. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was handed over to death, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine influences transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to stand and join in singing our new version of Amazing Grace.
Sweet.
Soon the kids will be back on this platform, yes, and I look forward to that celebration at some point. But I thank each of you for your presence here in the room and for all of you, wherever you may be. We trust that the love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is your guiding influence. Amen.
Amen.